Good morning. John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, let me share a few headlines for you. Snakebite victim charged $89,000 for 18-hour hospital stay. One hospital charges $8,000, another $38,000 for the same procedure. Let's see. American healthcare, out of control. Hospital chain said to scheme to inflate bills. Well, you get the idea. We're paying a lot more attention to what things cost in our healthcare system these days. Americans have, they've sort of become accustomed to getting that dreaded feeling in the pit of their stomach when a hospital bill arrives in the mail. And it may be because of artificial price inflation. And that's just one of the things we're going to talk about this hour as we discuss the cost of healthcare in America. And we're also going to tell you what to do if you think you've been the victim of price inflation. I have a pair of guests joining me this morning. Jeff Thompson is Chief Executive Officer of Gunderson Health System. Good morning, Jeff Thompson.
Good morning.
And Tom Harter is a clinical ethicist with Gunderson Health System. Tom Harter, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so how is it that one hospital can charge $7,000 and another $35,000 for the same procedure? And I'm not talking about hospitals on either side of the country or anything like that. These are hospitals in the same community. What accounts for things like such a wide disparity in the price of a procedure? And Jeff Thompson, let's start with you.
Well, it is charges, as you point out, and we do have a very unusual system in healthcare in the United States, where people pay much different things for what they get. The government pays what they choose to pay, regardless of what it costs. There are bargains with every different insurance company on how much things will get paid for, and you know, a large part of the work that is done in many institutions is done knowing that the people you're doing it for cannot pay the cost of what it's getting done. So it isn't like buying a car where everybody has to pay a price that covers the cost of the car. In healthcare, lots of people get healthcare that in fact they cannot pay for it, so that cost gets shifted to those that can pay, people from other from insurances or private pay. The problem, of course, then is it results in an unusual system where these prices get put on things that are not related to what it really costs for those particular things, because they're making up for a wide range of other procedures.
Well, and I liked your car shopping analogy, because if I go out to buy a car, usually it's not an emergency. I can right. I can take my time. I can maybe spend weeks shopping either online or whatever community I live in. I probably got three or at least four or five dealers I can choose from. I can go in and I can try the cars out. I can negotiate a price before I actually buy anything. And if I don't like your price, I don't have to buy what you're selling. But most of the time when we have an interaction with a hospital, it's because we're really sick. And you know, it's as you're being wheeled into the ER, you don't stop the doctor to say, hey, what's the tab for this going to be? So we talk about market forces and so forth. But do we really have any kind of a free market in healthcare when the buyer and the seller are on such unequal footing?
No. I mean, that's people keep saying, how come the market doesn't fix it, and there's not a free market in healthcare. I mean, the item that you pointed out, of course, is one of the issues, but it's a remarkably different market than what it is for purchasing other things. We don't deny people care. You get denied. You go in. You want to buy a big fancy car. You don't have the money. You don't get it. when people come in really sick, we always take care of them. Although your analogy isn't completely correct, that the vast majority of healthcare now is moving out of the hospital. Most of the care is actually out of hospitals. Hospitals are kind of the focal point, but they're moving out. All that said, there's no argument among those of us in healthcare who are really focused on this, on the health and well-being of our communities, that healthcare broadly costs too much. I mean, there's no argument about it. It costs too much. We need to do a variety of things. The pricing is a symptom of that illness, but healthcare broadly costs too much. And it's with us as patients, we could do some things. It's about the system of care, the connectedness of healthcare. It's about things we do within our organizations that could be more efficient and more reliable. So we just can't deny it. It is a big problem.
Tom Harder, I want to get you involved in the discussion. There are some are there some ethical considerations here in terms of the of how our healthcare is delivered and priced? Where does that come in?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there are huge ethical considerations when thinking about the business of healthcare versus the ethics of healthcare. And those two things, they overlap, and sometimes they work really well together, and sometimes they don't. And part of that issue is saying, you know, whether we have a free market in healthcare, and Dr. Thompson's point of saying, you know, it's not a true free market. That's true. You know, going back to the car analogy, you know, when I go, the price is right there on the car. I know what it is up front, and I can say I'm either going to purchase it or I'm not. Right, and in healthcare, you know, the point is well taken. When you go to the hospital, you go because you're really sick, right? And you're not going to be able to, even if you knew what the costs were up front, are you really in a position at that point to say, no, I don't want to get the care that I need, right? It's a difficult thing for people to try to process, especially at the time where they're not well. And as Dr. Thompson points out, when you come to the hospital, right, we're going to do whatever we need to do to meet your treatment goals, right? Whether that is to help you get better, right, and to get well and get out of the hospital, or if you elect to take a different route, if you're coming to the hospital for other types of care, such as hospice care, et cetera, we're going to do what we can to help you with that, right? And we recognize that people are vulnerable, right, when they come to the hospital. And so there's a real question about whether or not that's the time to present them with cost information that's going to say, you know, should I or should I not accept this care? Now, whether or not that should be the case, that's in debate.
Yeah, well, and that's what we're going to talk about. And there are some other issues involved here, too. There have been a number of stories about corporate-owned hospitals using, I think ethically challenged might be the best, most positive way to put it, strategies to increase admissions, and ER doctors being scored on how many people they admit to the hospital and fired if they don't admit enough. There are clearly some things going on in some parts of our healthcare system that are dysfunctional, while on the other hand, we see miracles performed by our doctors and nurses every day, and we don't want to just, you know, paint the whole thing with one brush. But there are some problems here, and we're going to spend the hour talking about not just what the problems are, but what we might do to make things better and what individual health consumers can do to protect themselves. 800-642-1234 is the number to call, 800-642-1234. You can also send an email to talk@WPR.org, and find us on Facebook. We have some Facebook comments already. We'll share those after the break. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Dr. Jeff Thompson, Chief Executive Officer of the Gunderson Health System, and Tom Harder, a clinical ethicist with Gunderson Health System. And with you, 800-642-1234. John Munson in for Joy Cardine today. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Inflated hospital bills on our minds this hour on the Ideas Network. John Munson in for Joy Cardine. A pair of guests, Dr. Jeffrey Thompson, CEO of the Gunderson Health System, and Tom Harder, a clinical ethicist with the Gunderson Health System. And we're discussing, pricing in how we buy our medicine and medical treatment. And we've been kind of discussing how we really don't have a real marketplace. It sounds like in either direction, because Dr. Thompson, the hospitals and the doctors are kind of at the mercy of what the government and the insurance companies are willing to pay. They kind of set the prices you have regardless of your cost situation. On the other hand, consumers don't really have any control either. And, you know, one of the things, and I want to get your thoughts on this, one of the things I think for a lot of us is for those who have insurance, particularly those who have good insurance, we don't ever really get to see, we don't really, it does, the real cost of medical care doesn't really affect us too much. We look at the bottom of the, statement to see what our portion is. And that's where, we have to write a check or give somebody a credit card number. And so oftentimes if the insurance is good, that's a fraction of what the insurance company paid. And I think as you were alluding to earlier, it may not actually represent what it cost the provider to actually provide the service. That just sounds like a system that's pretty messed up to me.
Well, it is a pretty unusual system. It's back to, you know, there's a variety of things that could be done differently. But if we keep our car now, see, if you even with deductibles that have increased that have got people's attention much more, a $2,000 or $3,000 deductible gets most of our attention. If you think about that, if you had $2,000 you had to spend, is all you had to put out, but you know you could get a nice small sedan or a giant luxury car, and you had to just spend $2,000 regardless of what happened. You don't pay as much attention as a consumer to the cost. And now we're back to the free market in healthcare. If for the last several decades, the majority of people, regardless whether you're on government or insurance, didn't pay much attention to the cost. This is why we have giant disparities among healthcare systems. Some healthcare systems work pretty hard to be disciplined and thoughtful and say, let's try and keep our costs as low as we can for the benefit of the public. Our mission is to improve the health and well-being of the public, so let's try and keep that down. And others have said, it's a business, so what the market will bear, the market will bear, and up go the prices. So it has been a combination of the lack of market, some lack of discipline, and then, frankly, before the break, you were talking about people behaving badly in healthcare. So there's 5,000 hospitals. There's 100,000 clinics. There are some bad actors. There is some fraud in healthcare, and they ought to be hammered. I mean, most of the healthcare providers work really hard to follow these very complex rules. But there's some people who go out of their way to try and break the rules and commit fraud. And they ought to be just hammered.
Well, there's, you know, I guess in any system, somebody's always going to try to game it, no matter what you do.
Right.
And there's a certain amount of that that's going to happen. It's like a retailer understands that a certain amount of employee theft is going to happen no matter what they do. And it's part of the cost of doing business. But still, if someone's been the victim of something like that, they don't think about, well, on average, things are pretty good. All they know is, hey, somebody did something and now I've got a great big bill, or I was in the hospital, I didn't really need to be, that kind of thing. And it comes down to individual human beings. How much of this, the way our system has kind of evolved, at one time, a lot of the clinics and even some of the hospitals were more or less owned and managed by the doctors themselves. They probably started them, And they've evolved. Now we've got large corporate structures with corporate overhead, and in some cases with a bottom line profit motive. That really has changed the entire face of healthcare in this country over a period of decades, hasn't it?
Yes, although the majority of hospitals were not owned by doctors, some were started, and there is a profit and for-profit section in healthcare, and that's, I throw that over to Tom Harder, that's another debate whether it really makes sense in a public good to have a big for-profit sector, but all that left aside here, there are a number of motivations, as you say, that have moved forward. You could argue that if health systems are put together in a wise and thoughtful fashion, focused on the well-being of the public, that they could, in fact, communicate better, have fewer errors, decrease their costs by better buying power. You could make a case that system in itself could be more efficient than independent doctor practices and independent hospitals scattered around. So I think it's not the structure that's the issue. I think it's the behavior of the people in it that's the issue. And mm-hmm. those people have to decide whether they are in it as their prime goal to put away as much cash as they can, or is their prime goal to serve the well-being of the public.
Tom Harder, let's throw this over to you. I mean, is the idea of making a profit on treating people's medical conditions inherently ethically challenged, or is there a way to do both?
You know, I think that it's ethically challenged, right? So in reading this article that you were talking about, right, the hospital chain said the scheme to inflate bills. You know, those are some pretty serious allegations against that hospital system. And, you know, regardless of whether they're true or not, right, we wonder why people, when they think about going to the hospital, begin to mistrust, right, the systems that they're going into, right? They're not only are they not well, right, but a lot of times they're scared. And partly what they're scared about is, I don't know if I'm going to get gamed by the system, right? And so things like this, this article, and when you are a for-profit system in particular, it is worrisome, right? Because you don't know whether or not you're going to be receiving care more than what you would normally want because of this profit motive, right? And, you know, earning a profit is a perfectly good thing, right? And it works in multiple industries, right? But healthcare, it becomes a bit more challenging because there are ethical principles that we expect our physicians and administrators to abide by to continue to provide patient-centered care, right? Not profit-centered care. And so when that happens, right, and we have people who are going to the hospitals and the hospital is scheming, to be honest, to try to maximize their profits, that is ethically worrisome.
I think
go ahead. I don't want it to sound like there's the data would argue that there's the big classification we're making between for profit and not for profit. There's plenty of what are classified as not for profit hospitals who have very good operating margins and don't necessarily behave good or bad because they're in that category. What a profit, not for profit, for the listeners, just means generally whether you pay income tax. Our organization is classified as a not for profit, but we pay a lot of taxes. We're the biggest property tax payer in our county. But we don't pay income tax. There are I am sure, many, not as many for-profit organizations in our part of the country, but there are many for-profit organizations, I am sure, that behave very well and do focus on the well-being of the public, just like other businesses that they're ethical car companies, to keep that analogy up, just like they're probably unethical ones as well. So I think when you say any profit at all, when you have the swing in the economy and when you have contracts with insurance companies or the government or other things that swing up and down, to have a small margin that helps buffer your staff and their paychecks through ups and downs to replenish your facilities, to keep up on the technology so you can deliver the best care, I think you can make an argument for some margin, if thoughtfully developed, that ultimately serves the good of the community.
Mm-hmm. I want you to hold that thought, because I want to come back to that. We need to take a break for the news, and we're starting to get some callers, and so we'll take those as well. 800-642-1234. We're talking about the cost of medical care and how it's determined, and what consumers can actually do. I want to focus on that a little bit more in the second half of the program here. John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The cost of health care. That's the kind of the overarching theme of this hour. We're talking about some specifics. Some people are complaining about artificial price inflation in hospital care. And then there are some other things that we've been talking about as well. I've got a pair of guests with me as we try to sort things out here and maybe get some explanations. Dr. Jeffrey Thompson is CEO of the Gunderson Health System. Tom Harder is a clinical ethicist with the Gunderson Health System. And Dr. Thompson, I had to cut you off because we were at a hard news break there, but I think your point is one that really needs to be made and maybe reemphasized, and that is if hospitals and clinics are going to stay open, they have to bring in enough money to pay the bills and put some aside for when things go wrong. And, you know, we forget about that because I think, like taxes, nobody really likes paying the doctor bill. But on the other hand, we want the service. And so there are costs out there. They need to be paid for somehow. And that's just kind of the way it is.
Well, it is the way it is. But we in healthcare can do a lot better than what we've done. We have not explained what prices are. We've not made them as transparent as can be. And actually, as you spend time, and we have a smaller region here in La Crosse, we can get closer to our employers and other folks. As we work with them, we have an opportunity to educate and let them know that we are absolutely dedicated to trying keeping the costs down. And if you're a straight businessman saying, let me see, most of our income in healthcare comes from doing things for people. So it's a fee for whatever service we do for people. So if we're trying to keep them healthier and keep them out of the hospital, keep them from having procedures, that's like our car salesman telling, don't buy cars. You know, your car's fine, just don't buy a new one. So it is kind of a funny spot to be in, but most of us have pledged to say we're here for the health and well-being of the communities, and therefore, we need to figure out how to be more efficient, but also engage the community in being more healthy, more understanding, and part of that is we have to be more transparent. In Wisconsin, we have some advantages. We have a grand coalition called the Wisconsin Collaborative that worked on making quality more transparent. The Hospital Association has worked with us tightly on that, and they've tried to make some pricing and costs more transparent, but we have a long ways to go. It's still hard for people to understand what it's going to cost, partly because we just haven't done that well as an industry, and partly because it gets complicated to predict what's going to happen when, as opposed to just purchasing something, when you come in, things change, and more imaging, more tests, more things to really deliver the best care. So,
well,
So we have to do better in healthcare to make it better for people.
Well, I know sometimes people feel like the bill they get from their hospital or other medical provider is nearly as difficult to decipher as their cell phone bill, and that might be one area where how much improvement can you really make? Because there are you have to explain the procedures, and there's all sorts of jargon that comes into this. People just have a really tough time understanding what it is they're actually paying for. And, you know, it is challenging for everybody, but we don't really pay attention to it until we get the bill, and then we're upset about it. And at that point, it's a little too late to do anything. Tom Harder, as a clinical ethicist, what's your role in the medical system? I mean, are you watching for things that you think might be a problem and then going and telling somebody about it? Or what is your role?
So my primary role is to help evaluate and assess difficult situations between patients, families, staff, et cetera, and then to, after that evaluation, make recommendations for how to move forward. Now, encompassed in that, and that's very broad, and that's because what I do is very broad. And so I am looking out for things. If people say, hey, look, I'm really worried about how this is going, I have an obligation to look into it, and that's something I'm happy to do. And a lot of times, there's a fair amount of transparency with being able to get those answers, right? And I just want to come back for a second to something Dr. Thompson has been talking about, and I think he's absolutely right. Like, healthcare is not free, and it never will be, nor should it be, right? And we need to be able to generate revenue to operate. Right. And so there's a lot of expense that goes into healthcare. Right. But what we could do a better job at is focusing on, and some talk about this distinction between healthcare versus sick care. Right. You come to the hospital, what you're getting is sick care. Right. You are ill, you are not feeling well, and we're trying to provide for you in a way that gets you back to health. Right, but there's also a good point to be made about saying we need to focus and do a better job at striving for healthcare, right? Getting people healthy to prevent them from coming into the hospital, right? But again, as a business model, whether or not that makes a lot of sense, ethically, from a medical professional perspective, it does, right? But it would be like your car salesman telling you, you know, I think you're looking a little overweight, right? You've got some health issues. Instead of buying this car, why don't we get you on a walking plan, right? Or something to that effect. It would be not good for the car business, right? And so it's all about the culture of the institution, right? And there are very good, both non-for-profit and profit hospitals that do keep that in mind and strive to help people achieve a status of health that prevents them from necessarily needing the services of hospital care. But the concern, of course, again, comes back to when those things aren't transparent and when it's unclear and you get that bill in the mail and you're going, there's something that doesn't add up here, right? This seems to be astronomically high, right? I do think it's important for consumers to be vigilant of that, right? So this is a market. It is a relationship between the patient and the provider, right? And there is a transaction involved. And I think it behooves us to say consumers should be vigilant in perusing their bills and making sure that they're paying what they think they should be paying. And if they have questions, it's the obligation of the institution, of the hospital system, to provide those answers, right, and to have somebody who can help decipher those bills, right? So one of the things we have at Gunderson and many other institutions as well is you have a service excellence department. People can call into business services and say, hey, look, I have this question about my bill, and they can be walked through that.
Mm-hmm. We have a bunch of phone calls, and I'd like to get to at least one before we go to a break here. Let's start with Marty in Elkhorn. Marty, good morning.
Good morning to you. Thanks for taking my call. I'm getting a feeling I'm going to state the obvious here, but wouldn't universal health care greatly reduce this graft? And if so, isn't that the reason why we don't have universal health care? And I'll listen to your response off air. Thank you.
Marty wants to know if single payer would take care of any overcharging problems. Dr. Thompson, we'll start with you.
Well, I think there's it all depends on how you set it up and how we organize it. It certainly might simplify it if you had a single payer. If he's going to a single payer, one of the issues that all healthcare organizations face is that you have multiple insurance companies, you have the state government, you have the federal government, and you have the veterans, the administration. All those folks have different set of rules. Okay, so they all have a different language that they use. They don't use consistent language to describe things. They have more overlap now than they did 10 years ago, but there's different language, there's different classifications, there's different rules, there's different expectations. So even healthcare organizations that work ferociously hard to try and stay on top of that, and by the way, this stack of rules, if you put it in paper, which we never do, you know, would be 6 or 8 feet high. And it, just in the case of the federal government, changes twice a month. So you're in a billing department, and you're trying to stay on top of those rules, trying to know what it's trying to do. You're trying to be fair to the public. So even well-intentioned people struggle. So to the question, if you had a single payer, could that simplify the billing part of this? Absolutely. That could simplify it. Would it eliminate all the graft and corruption? As you pointed out earlier, Tom, there's always people who try and beat the system. And in those countries that have more of a single-payer system, there are still people who do untoward things. Any sector business that has that much money and is going to have the bad element in it, there's always people that are going to pull it. But it does... it does point out that the complexity in the system results in errors that a more simple system would be able to decrease.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we have full phone banks here, so let's try and get through those calls. A lot of people have some really good questions and comments for us. We'll take those, and then before the end of the hour, I'd like to get some advice from both of you on what consumers should be doing and what they can be doing to maybe try and be more in control of their own health care costs. We're talking about the cost of health care and things like artificial price inflation and so forth this hour with Dr. Jeffrey Thompson, CEO of Gunderson Health System, and Tom Harder, a clinical ethicist with the Gunderson Health System, and with you. 800-642-1234, talk at WPR, or leave a comment on Facebook. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, most of us know what it's like to get a bill from the hospital and open it up, and then your jaw drops because, wow, you didn't ever think that anything was going to cost that much. We're talking about why that is, and hopefully before the end of the hour, what we can do about it. My guests, Dr. Jeffrey Thompson, CEO of Gunderson Health System, and Tom Harder, a clinical ethicist with Gunderson. Phil is in Ellison Bay this morning, and he joins us by phone. Phil, good morning.
Good morning. I'm a retired physician, and I'd like to bring one point into this discussion which really underlies everything we're talking about, and that is the basic principle that's used in hospital accounting is that the cost of the care of all the indigent patients and all the patients who have no insurance is transferred to the paying patient through cost shifting. That's just one of the elements that's used in shifting the cost of care of people who come through the emergency room and through other ways of entry into the hospital system onto the person who comes through a proper channel using his physician's referral and all the other ways that people get into hospitals. This cost shifting alters the cost of everything in the hospital. Now, cost shifting takes on the care, the cost of care of patients who don't pay. It takes on the cost of all the equipment that the hospital uses, and in diagnostic and therapeutic functions that it delivers to its patients, which is the reason why your room rates are so high, which is the reason why the cost of using a laboratory or a procedure unit like an operating room or whatever is so high. And the patient is only one unit in all the other units that shares in the cost of these activities of every hospital without being able to tease it apart from the cost of his individual care.
Phil, thank you so much for your call. I think, Dr. Thompson, you touched on this earlier, and that is a lot of the there has to be some cost shifting because there are so many people who use the system who really can't pay anything.
Well, he's absolutely right, and it's very common. We take the cost and we spread it out. That's reality right now. I think what that does is to me and our organization, many other organizations, it says, okay, so our responsibility then is to first of all be as absolutely as efficient we can. Everybody that studied healthcare and those of us that are really honest and look hard at it knows that in how we deliver healthcare, there's 10 or 20, might be 25% of waste in what goes on there. Now, we work hard to try and take that out, but there is some waste in there. The other piece for the broader public and all the listeners, if that's what's happening and we're all paying for it, it should make people believe, well, I guess we're all in the same boat together. So the health of the community, the health of everybody in the community affects my health care costs, my business's health care costs. And so we should work on not just, you know, those of us that have a job and have the ability to go to the gym or work out or do whatever we do to stay as healthy as possible. We need to think about the health of the whole population. And regardless of what their economic status is, it affects all of our health care costs. So as we raise the health of the population, young, old, rich, poor, it doesn't matter, as we raise the health of the population, we should be able to lower our overall costs to each of us in health care expenditures.
Let's go to Dan in La Crescent next. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for taking my call. Just to briefly comment on what was just said, that's the whole point of the Obamacare mandate is to get everybody in, but that's not what I originally called about. I just had an idea, and I just wanted to throw it out there as food for thought for the listeners and your guests. Why not have every provider publicly post what their usual and customary charges are? I mean, usual and customary charges is data that we have. Everybody always sees it on their insurance billing. So we'll put it out there and then pass a law that says nobody can charge 25% more than what they've posted as their usual and customary. And so I just wanted to put it out there as food for thought.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Dr. Thompson?
Well, I think you certainly can pass a law saying what the charges are for many, many things. It'd be pretty common for the individual pieces. And as they add up, that gets more complex. A piece that we haven't talked about is utilization. So you can have common charges, for example, but when you start looking carefully at why healthcare costs so much more in one spot than another, the utilization of those. So if somebody's going to have a surgery and in one organization they have two ultrasounds and a CT scan before that occurs, and another, they just have an ultrasound before that occurs, and their outcomes are just as good, you can see that the surgeon writing down his price, you know, $500 to take out your gallbladder, it turns out to be just a small part of that. The cost of the
ultrasound, the cost of the CT scan, might be all within that boundary that was stated. So you would end up all staying within the boundaries, but the overall cost would be still really high. So it's a pretty complex system. I'm not trying to say that we couldn't be clearer, and I think most organizations are trying to move towards the common things to have greater clarity at the time that they're done. Office visits, we ought to be able to do imaging, as I spoke out, we ought to be able to do that and say, here's what one of those might be. It is harder to say, here's what your whole complex case is going to be as you come in after a car accident in an emergency department. But for many, many encounters, we ought to be able to be more transparent about the prices, as the caller mentioned.
Okay, well, we've just got about a minute and a half or so left. Tom Harder, what should consumers be doing, do you think, to make sure that that they're paying for what they're getting and they're getting what they pay for and that the prices are fair?
Well, for those who are insured, I think they need to read through what's covered and what's not. I think all people can be advocates for themselves by asking questions of their providers, especially, to find out what, in fact, are you, what are your standard charges here?
And Dr. Thompson, what other than trying to keep themselves healthy and out of the hospital, what can consumers do to try to move the levers?
Big piece. You try and keep yourself healthy. I think the other piece is establish a primary care provider. You establish a primary care provider that helps you stay healthy, but also helps you navigate the complexities of all the other things that go on what is needed and what is not needed, and discussing it with specialists. That's another key piece of helping make the system really work. The primary care provider can be very important in doing this as a collaborative partner with the specialist.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there because we're out of time. I really appreciate you both being on with me this morning. It's a complex topic, and we could have done 2 hours on it easily. But thank you both for being here.
Thank you very much for the time.
Tom Harder is a clinical ethicist with Gunderson Health System. Dr. Jeffrey Thompson is chief executive officer of Gunderson Health System. Robin Cherry produced this hour of programming and was my director for it. It also had on-air production help from Cynthia Schuster, and I need all the help I can get. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to this program on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.